The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast. This is by Ira Wallace. And we're starting today with May, Harnessing the Jungle. As the days get longer and the weather really starts to warm up, tomatoes, summer vining crops, and weeds start to grow at an amazing rate and threaten to take over every inch of space in a small garden. If you have visions of lush, ripe melons, crisp cucumbers, baskets of juicy vine-ripened tomatoes and plump green beans, now is the time to finish the trellises and cages in your garden plans and perhaps add a few extras. Growing up is a great way to get more vegetables from your garden while making it a more attractive and comfortable area. Smart gardeners take action early in control rampant weeds, preserving available nutrients and precious water for your crops. In the meantime, prepare to weed. Plan to do this month. Plan, prepare, and maintain. Plan fall and winter crops. Make notes of planting, harvest, weather, weeds, insects, and other conditions in your garden. Scuffle, hoe, and hand weed all plantings weekly. Hand-picked potato beetles and asparagus beetles. Stake, string weave, or cage tomatoes and peppers. Only one row around peppers using short stakes. Garlic, harvest garlic scapes, remove mulch from garlic, and weed. Move mulch to weeded broccoli, check maturity of potato, onions, and garlic, and start to harvest if ready. Weed onions until 3 weeks before expected harvest date. Weed each corn planting twice. Undersowing at 30 days with soy or oat cover crops. Be careful. Corn roots are shallow. Perennials. Put up blueberry netting before fruit ripen. Weed and water blueberries. In early May, continue cutting sweet potato slips until you have enough. Sow and plant. Sow beans, carrots, and corn, plus more radishes, peanuts, edamame, limas, cowpeas, and asparagus beans. Sow winter squash, melons, cucumbers, picklers and slicers, summer squash, and zucchini. Cover them with row cover to protect against cucumber beetles. Keep them well covered until flowering starts. Transplant when hardened off. Remaining tomatoes, peppers, mulch first to save weeding time, and eggplant. Cover immediately with spun polyester fabric and melons and watermelons at a maximum of 4 weeks old. Do the same for okra, hot peppers, and sweet potatoes. Mulch them later when the soil has warmed to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Sow sorghum, Sudan, soy, buckwheat, or millet as summer cover crops. And the fresh harvest will be arugula, artichokes, Asian greens, asparagus, beans, beets, beet greens, broccoli, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, chard, cherries, collards, corn, garlic scapes, fava, fresh herbs, kale, kohlrabi, lettuce, peas, potatoes, radishes, raspberries, rhubarb, scallions, spinach, strawberries, summer squash, tomatoes, turnips, and zucchini. Finish harvesting overwintered collards, kale, and kohlrabi beds by the end of the month if they are not already cleaned up. Now, dealing with weeds. Gardens full of weeds produce fewer vegetables because the weeds compete for the available soil nutrients, water, air, and sunlight. Weeds can also provide a home for insect pests and plant diseases. So I recommend prevention as the first strategy. Leave no surface bare. Mulch, grow cover, cover crops if open for 5 weeks or more, and plant crops so the leaves of one plant will barely touch the next plant, covering the whole garden bed when mature and effectively shading out weeds. A scuffle hoe is one of the most useful tools for fighting the war against weeds. Scuffle or stirrup hoes come in many sizes, all with a flat bottom that cuts weeds off just below the soil surface and breaks up the top 1/4 inch of soil without bringing more weed seeds to the surface. When used properly, it is rather accurate, very selective, and always effective and inexpensive. Because it can be done while standing up straight, I can find scuffle hoeing enjoyable work. However, you won't be able to control all weeds with the hoe alone. Weeds at the base of the plant need to be pulled by hand. It is best to do this early because pulling large weeds can damage the root systems of vegetable plants. You can decrease the amount of hoeing necessary by generously applying organic mulches as a part of your weed control program. Mulches help to retain soil moisture and reduce weed growth. Organic mulches are by far the most common and preferred type. Bark, wood chips, compost, ground corn cobs, chopped corn stalks, grass clippings, leaves, manure, newspapers, peanut shells, peat moss, pine needles, sawdust, straw, and wood shavings are common organic mulches. These mulches not only reduce weeding, but also conserve soil moisture. Add organic material and reduce the soil temperature by 8 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit during the summer. If organic mulches are applied to cold garden soils, the soils will warm up more slowly and plant maturity will be delayed. On the other hand, organic mulches can reduce soil crusting. After the soil warms in spring, an organic mulch can be applied to a depth of 2 to 4 inches around well-established plants. Be sure that there is adequate moisture in the soil before applying the mulch. Mulches such as sawdust, wood shavings, and corn cobs can use up some of the soil nitrogen as they decompose. To compensate, you can mix compost or high nitrogen organic fertilizer with each bushel of sawdust, wood shavings, or corn cobs before applying them over the soil. Black plastic mulch is highly effective for early fruiting crops such as melons, cucumbers, squash, and tomatoes. Its greatest value is its ability to increase soil temperature very early in the growing season when the soil is cool. But because of the need to dispose of plastic mulch at the end of the season, I choose organic mulches whenever possible. Vegetable crops that germinate quickly and grow fast in the garden can suppress weeds by shading. The North Carolina State Extension Service has done research on the ability of crops to suppress weeds by shading as the crop develops. Smother crops is a term used for crops that are planted thickly to reduce weeds in the next crop. The straw residue from other crops, like rye, ryegrass, etc., can reduce early season germination of weeds such as common lamb's quarter, common purslane, and redroot pigweed by 75% or more. According to research from North Carolina State University, smother crops are also effective in suppression of many winter annual weeds, such as henbit and chickweed. Many of these same weeds are edible and can be harvested when young for salads or cooking greens. What to do about bugs? Warm and wet weather not only encourages weed growth, but also increases insect populations. Most bugs are not harmful, and many of them are helpful. They are pollinators and predators of pests. They speed up the decay of organic matter into compost and bring beauty and amusement into our lives and the lives of our children. Only a few damage your plants. Here are some basics of organic pest management that you can adapt to your garden. Prevention is the first line of defense. Build healthy soil, maintain even moisture, rotate crops, and choose appropriate varieties. Know the pests. Most likely to cause problems in your garden, learn to identify them, what their feeding preferences are, and the details of their life cycle. Often you can learn the pests for a whole plant family from dealing with just one example and know what to expect for any crop in that family. The brassica family, cabbage, broccoli, kale, turnips, and mustards, for instance, counts caterpillars, including the cabbage worm and cabbage looper, aphids, harlequin bugs, and flea beetles among its pests. The nightshade family, potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, and peppers, has to deal with Colorado potato beetles, aphids, flea beetles, wireworms, and root grubs, among others. Monitor your plants for insects. If you can detect an infestation early on, whatever you do for control will be more effective while populations are low. Use a headlamp at night to scout for cutworms and also predators like spiders and soldier beetles. Use simple, safe methods for manual control like row cover and hand picking. Your goal is to reduce pest population and increase predator population for a natural balance. Row cover comes in various thicknesses. The thinnest ones provide insect protection with little heat gain. Newer insect net pot products are less subject to tearing. If you didn't rotate your crop from last year, row cover may create a pest paradise. Some plants, like peppers, need wire support for row cover to prevent damage to leaves. Remember to remove row covers from squash, cucumbers, and other plants that need pollinators. Hand picking can be very effective early in the season when pests are just getting started. Many insects can be knocked or jarred onto sticky sheets or into buckets predators, into buckets. Predators are often more active and may escape being trapped. Learn to recognize beneficial bugs like syphid flies, carabid beetles, big-eyed bugs, lady beetles, etc., that prey on pests and give them a helping hand with nectar sources and habitat. Think twice before using insecticides, even organic ones. You may create more problems than you solve. If you must use them, be as specific as possible, such as using BT, a group of insecticides made from Bacillus thuringiensis, which are naturally occurring soil bacteria, to help control cabbage worms. Soap sprays, sometimes called insecticidal soap, can help with aphids and other soft-bodied insects. If in spite of your best efforts, a crop is repeatedly damaged, remember that not everything can try to grow will do well everywhere in all seasons. Experiment and learn about new controls every season. Tomato trenching. Giving tomatoes a head start. Unlike other plants, heat-loving tomato seedlings should be planted in trenches set in the ground along horizontally so that only the topmost leaves remain above ground. This creates a very strong root base, giving additional strength and support to the plant. New roots form in the warm surface soil, which helps get the plants going strong in the spring. As the soil heats up, the roots will reach down deeper. Here's how to trench tomatoes, and begin by snipping off any leaves below the topmost set. For each plant, dig a narrow trench of the right size to fit the seedling. You'll place the plant at a slight downward angle so that the stem is almost sideways and the top leaves and few inches of stem are above the soil. Point the existing root ball slightly downward and gently press down soil around the plant to snug it into place. New roots will grow downward from each old leaf node along the stem. Don't worry if the above ground tops flop over to the side at first. They'll be reaching for the sky within a day or two. Staking. As warm weather brings rampant growth to garden plants, gardeners with limited space can bring order to beds and make sure heat-loving tomatoes, beans, and melons get plenty of sun with the right trellising. Arches, arbors, and pergolas can provide focal points in the garden as well as keep fruiting plants off the ground with good airflow and plenty of sunshine. Staked, caged, or trellised plants can also provide shaded spots for nursing your fall plantings through the long, hot, dry spells in July and August. Garden teepees are easily made from 3 to 6 bamboo, metal, or wooden poles held together with jute, wire, or electrical ties, and they provide support for all kinds of vining, beans, pole limas, and even passion fruit. A large teepee even provides an excellent resting place for a young child helping in the garden. Make sure to leave an opening for a doorway. Native people in the Southeast used living supports like corn stalks or giant sunflower stalks as poles for beans. Along the coast of the Carolinas and other places in the South, it is traditional to grow vining crowder peas with corn or even popcorn for support. I like to use cattle panels as a trellis support because they are rigid, easy to set up, and last forever. Small fruited crops need no support for the fruits. But larger fruited veggies, such as most winter squash, muskmelon, and watermelons, require something to support the heavy fruit. Sections of hosiery, mesh citrus sacks, or anything strong that drains can be used to form a sling to support the fruit. Florida string weaving. Tomatoes are a garden favorite in the Southeast, and with our abundant sun, most gardeners who have enough space want to grow extra for canning or making salsa. String weaving is my pick for trellising paste and other determinant tomatoes. Here's what you'll need. 4 6-foot stakes, wood, rebar, or T-posts per 6 plants, 120 feet jute, or other twine for a 12-foot bed and scissors. Step 1. Plant your tomatoes in a straight row 2 feet apart. Drive a stake between every plant or two. Weekly, start when the plants are 12 inches and weave twine between the plant stem and stakes. Start by tying the twine to the first stake and loop it tightly around the stakes along the row. When you reach the last stake, make a double loop and continue back on the other side of the row. And when you get back to the first stake, tie off with a strong knot and cut the twine. Continue to run another line weekly, about every 4 to 8 inches, until the plants stop growing. And so with that, in this, there's a picture here. You have lines, rows of string that go around the poles and around your plants, and then another up above it, and then you keep building these so that the vines can hang on to them, or they can just wrap around them. So that's the way you can hold and make a hold for your tomato plants. And now we have in this book, there is a section at the end that has called A to Z plants, an index. And for each plant, it has information about seed saving, varieties, growing, and harvesting. And I'm going to start today, and at the end of each program, we'll read a couple more of the plants that I think people will plant around here. Or actually just plant. We'll go through the A to Z. And the first one is artichokes. Artichokes are one of the most unusual and delicious vegetables. As artichokes don't handle extreme heat and cold, it's best to treat them as annuals in most of the Southeast. Thomas Jefferson grew artichokes at Monticello, and modern-day farmers in Texas are successfully growing them for market. If you have enough space for the large, attractive plants, you can have your own garden fresh baby chokes. Growing them. Plant in full sun to partial shade. Artichokes thrive in fertile, well-drained soil. Start seedlings in the fall to overwinter in a cold frame, or indoors in spring at least 2 months before the last frost. Excellent drainage is essential for success with fall sowing or overwintering artichoke plants. Sow seeds 1/4 inch deep and 1/2 inch apart. Keep warm until the seeds sprout, then move to a cooler area. The plants need 8 to 10 days at 50 degrees Fahrenheit or less to initiate buds. Transplant to 3 to 4 inch pots. 2 weeks before the last frost, plant outside 2 to 4 feet apart in rows 3 to 4 feet apart. Use spun polyester row cover to protect from frost. Use mulch to keep the roots cool and retain even soil moisture. One frustrated gardener in North Florida, determined to have homegrown artichokes, trimmed back his plants, dug up the roots, and stored them in an extra refrigerator over the summer. He then replanted the roots in fall and reported to me that he was getting lots of artichokes the following spring. Harvesting. Cut the stems 1.5 inches below the bud when they reach full size, but before the bracts open. Homegrown artichokes are often small and tender, perfect for eating whole. Harvest is generally early to mid-summer. Varieties. There is Taver, 95 days, and other Imperial Star, which are 85 to 95 days. Varieties are bred to produce in one season and are excellent choices for the Southeast. Many gardeners in the Lower South have success with the old standard Green Globe, 90 days, and purple-tinted Violetta, 95 days, as well as the Imperial Star types planted in fall in a cold frame or other sheltered place and transplanted in early spring. Look for new annual varieties selected for the Southeast by breeders developing crops for the growing local food specialty. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, where we will continue with Out in the Garden next week.